Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it is the last day of our Science 101 series that we've been doing with this drive on the National Science Test questions that American kids can't answer. We've been looking at actual test questions, and sadly, kids around the country met a lot of resistance with these subjects, or the subjects met with a lot of resistance with these kids. In New York City, only 13% of eighth graders and 18% of fourth graders in public school were considered proficient on this nationwide exam. So are you smarter than a fourth, eighth, or 12th grader? Today we take a look at gravity and energy with Katie Gardner, science educator at the Liberty Science Center in Jersey City. Katie, welcome back for one more time.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be back.
And here is a fourth grade question. Beans and coal both have stored energy. Where did that energy come from?
Well, originally, that energy comes from the sun. Beans and coal are both products of plants. Originally, coal is much farther removed from plants, but the sun comes into those plants. Plants are able to photosynthesize that sun, take in some carbon dioxide to produce plant matter. And that is stored in the tissues of that plant. If it produces the beans, well, some of that energy has now gone to the beans. If that plant then gets preserved over a long period of time and happens to form coal, well, all of that energy that it brought in becomes the coal, too.
And we thought yesterday that we had a question which only the least amount of students answered correctly, when it was only a quarter of students, that was the hardest one we could come across. We were so wrong. Less than 8% of the fourth graders who attempted to answer this following question got it right. Anna drinks a glass of orange juice before going to a run. Explain how that orange juice contains energy from the sun. So it's really a follow-up on the last question.
Yeah, it's really the same principle going on here. Orange juice comes from oranges. Oranges come from plants. And the material that plants are building, it's energized by the photosynthetic process. It needs the energy from the sun to start converting carbon dioxide into plant matter.
How does coal, by the way, since we use that example, have stored energy from the sun? Doesn't coal basically exist underground?
Well, coal is underground, but it is what we call a fossil fuel, and it originally starts out as plant material. So if that plant material has been buried and becomes mineralized over time, it's still containing that energy from the sun. It's just been buried and becomes more compact and really concentrates the energy into a more compact form that we then dig up and burn and use for energy.
So here's another fourth grade question. Is a hamburger an example of stored energy? Explain why or why not.
Yes, it is. The hamburger is food that would give us energy if we ate it. So it's storing that energy until we're able to eat it and start using that energy again. And, you know, the hamburger comes from cows. Cows get their energy from the grass, and the grass gets it from the sun, photosynthesis.
All right. So those are energy storage questions. And they're followed by some questions about kinetic and potential energy, such as how do you explain the difference between those two kinds of energy, kinetic and potential, to grade school science students?
Well, this gets a little complicated, but if we were, say, to take just a ball and have it dangling up above the classroom on a string, that ball's not moving anywhere. It doesn't have energy right now. But most students can recognize if I cut that string, it's going to start moving. It has the potential if the situation changes. So the potential energy is just it's kind of a relationship between a force that's being acted upon that body and how it might move if the conditions change. Now, the kinetic energy is the motion itself, how much energy is being generated as that mass starts to move in some way.
So here's a question for eighth graders. To keep a heavy box sliding across a carpeted floor at constant speed, a person must continually exert a force on the box. This force is used primarily to overcome which of the following forces? Air resistance, the weight of the box, the frictional force exerted by the floor on the box, or the gravitational force exerted by the Earth on the box? That's actually a hard question.
That is fairly difficult. It's really the friction that you're trying to overcome, because the carpet is going to have a higher friction than if we were on a nice linoleum floor that's nice and smooth and waxed.
Because, again, the task here is to slide the box.
The task is to slide the box. And gravity is acting the same whether we're on carpet or on linoleum, but you're going to have to exert more force to slide it across that carpet.
The weight of the box contributes, though.
The weight of the box does contribute, but the force of gravity does contribute to creating that friction. But so, it's really the friction that is probably being asked about in that question.
So, you know, this is the end of this seven-part series, and we've had fun with you and some other guests looking at some of the specific questions from these national science tests. But why do you think American students, and New York City students in particular, aren't doing well on this test? What do we need that we just aren't getting in science classrooms for you as a science educator?
Well, there often seems to be a disconnect between what people necessarily learn in a classroom and their everyday lives. Science is around us all the time. It's very relevant to how we live our lives. And students don't always make those connections, and they don't have help to make the connections that, you know, this is why you're studying this. This is going to have an impact on you because of these things.
Make it relevant.
Make it relevant.
Says Katie Gardner, science editor at educator at the Liberty Science Center in Jersey City. The final guest, as she's done the last 2 days in our Science 101 series here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Thank you so much. You've been great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Coming up next on The Leonard Lopate Show, Joshua Four takes us inside the topsy-turvy world of competitive memorizers and reveals the tricks that he used to become the United States memory champion. And two Wall Street Journal reporters discuss their series What They Know on the scary new world of tracking technologies that can tell advertisers everything from what we Google to what we're watching on TV. So stay tuned for those two things and more on The Leonard Lopate Show, coming up right after the latest news. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for your support for the station this week. This is WNYC, FM and AM New York, and WNYC.org. The news is next.